So we have to learn that the letter itself kills. What you read and hear and you interpret with your mind will minister death to you. What you read and hear that becomes a revelation to you, that it ministers the presence of the Lord to you, that ministers life to you. And that's what Paul is saying. And he's saying, saints, it's important that we understand that the scriptures that are set before you are life and death, and how we relate to them makes the difference. You know what I'm talking about when I say there are those in some churches, they get so locked in to a mental understanding of the scriptures, and when they hear the truth, they can't accept it. That's the way those Pharisees and the scribes were. They studied the scriptures meticulously. There were scribes that could rewrite the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all five of those books. They could rewrite them and not miss a jot, not tittle. A lot of Christians today can't even read them, let's write them. Mm-hmm. See, they knew the Word that way. But when the Word of God was standing before them, they couldn't recognize Him. So it's not knowing the letter of the Scripture that's important. It's to be able to learn the spirit of the Scripture and to receive it. That's Paul in 2 Corinthians. Okay, we're going to start cutting it short now. John 6, verse 6 to 3. This is that same chapter where all the guys started walking away from Jesus, and he turned and asked the disciples, "Will you go also?" And don't forget, that word quicken means to make alive. King James uses that word a lot. In verse 63, this is Jesus speaking. "It is the Spirit that quickens or makes alive. The flesh, which involves your thinker, your humanistic reasoning powers, see, your flesh doesn't profit you anything." And then he says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they're life." Get that? The word that the Lord speaks is spirit and life. The word that is in these scriptures is spirit and life. You cannot see spirit in the natural. You cannot hear it. It's life. The life that he's talking about, you cannot see it with your natural eyes. You cannot hear it with your natural ears. They're words of spirit and life. The word of God is spirit and it's life. So what do we need to do? We need to become spiritual enough that we can discern the word of the Lord without using our thinker, our mental understanding. When you use your natural, humanistic thinker, your understanding, you will not get the truth that way, because that ministers death. Everybody see that? Mm-hmm. We got that? How do you get to that point?
Mm-hmm. Have all the info.
Yeah, and see, that's why we talked about this afternoon. Right. Now, you learn these things, now you got to work on it and learn how to make it real to you. You're going to have to learn. You see, your spirit has all the qualities, you know, your natural senses, touch, sight, hearing, smelling, tasting. Mm-hmm. That's your five natural senses. Those same senses are found in your spirit. But your spirit is dead until you come to the Lord. And just because you've repented and accepted Christ as your Savior does not necessarily mean that your spirit has now come alive to God. but you're in the process. Well, as you learn and as you grow spiritually, your spirit is beginning to come alive in these areas so that your spirit can see. How does that happen? Go back to the Beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And you got a lot of people that, when he comes, I'm going to see him. He's going to be standing there in midair. If you see him, you'll see him with your heart. And your heart, of course, is your spirit. And your spirit has the ability to hear. You know what resonance means? I know when I used to work on televisions, and it had a resonance circuit where the frequency that was coming in had to be in resonance or in tune with the frequency that needs to come out. When you get those two resonated so that they're working together, you see, that's when the thing works right. We have to learn to get our spirit to be in resonance with the Spirit of the Lord, you see. And it's like turning in the dial of a radio. You just turn on the radio, you got, you know, everything trying to come in. But you fine-tune it until you hit on that one radio frequency that you want. And then it comes in clear. And that's the way it is. We learn how to fine-tune our spirit so that we can tune it in to the voice of the Lord. And that's important. Then you get so that you're like Elijah. Elijah hears the thunder. The voice of the Lord wasn't in it. The lightning takes place, everything. But the voice of the Lord, then he's standing there in the mouth of that cave, and there's a still small voice. Lo and behold, it's the voice of the Lord. He was able to discern and know the voice of the Lord. We can do that too. Listen, there's not anything that Elijah did that we cannot come into. In fact, we're to walk in more than what those Old Testament prophets walked in. Hey, can you imagine Peter and James and John up on the Mount of Transfiguration? You know, we're the disciples of the Lord. And they get up on top of that little mountain, and then there's a voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son. You hear him. And then suddenly there's Moses and Elijah. Now, they had not lived long enough to see Moses and Elijah and recognize them, but somehow they knew it was Moses and Elijah. And Jesus didn't do any introduction. He says, Peter, I want you to meet Moses, and this is Elijah. Moses, I want you to meet Peter, and this is James. And they just knew. And bless Peter's heart. You know what to say. Lord, we can build three tabernacles here. Can you believe for something like that? Let me tell you. You get up on a mountaintop with Jesus, and it just ain't no telling what other prophets and apostles or men of God that will appear. Now, if you study these scriptures long enough, spiritually I'm talking about, you'll get to the place where you know Isaiah. I've studied that book of Isaiah, I've read it so much, I feel like I'm beginning to know him. And all of a sudden, you begin to be aware of his presence. You see, they're not off somewhere else. They're just on another level, another realm. But they're here. That's why Moses and Elijah appeared on that Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. They were just suddenly, they were there, but suddenly they were visible. And they were able to see them. And when you get over there in Revelation, it talks about the coming of the Lord with 10,000 of his saints. You know, as he appears, he's not appearing alone. But there's a lot of those appearing with him. Those, and Jesus said, don't you remember that it was said that God said, I am the God of a life, of God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he's not the God of the dead, but he's the God of the living. And Jesus is trying to tell them, those guys are still living. You can't see them, but they're living. But what if he opened your eyes and you could see them? They're not afar off. You go to Hebrews 11. It talks about that great cloud of witnesses that surround us. They're all about us. Haven't you ever been worshiping and you could feel the presence of the angels in the service worshiping with you? We have. We've been many times. Believe. Believe for God to meet your heart. Believe for Him to open the eyes of your heart that you might know the hope of your calling. Believe for Him to open the awarenesses of your spirit so you can begin to sense things. I feel the anointing and the blessing and His life in my hands. And I sense it and I feel it when it goes forth out of my hands and is ministered to someone else. You can do the same thing. You can come into the same thing. God's not limited except by your unbelief. The only thing that will limit Him is your unbelief. John 6:6-3. It is the Spirit that quickens or makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And if you think you can understand those words with your natural understanding, you'll have another thing coming. Because I don't care what you come up with, you're wrong. You do not understand the word of the Lord with your natural understanding. But I tell you what, when it's revealed to your spirit and it writes it upon your heart, it don't make any difference what anybody else says. You know what the word is. You have heard it with your spirit and it has been witnessed to your heart and you know that it is God, and can't nobody change your mind on that. You see, because it's been made life to you. And I want this word written upon your hearts so that you begin to begin to see it and to witness to it, and that it becomes so alive within you that you begin to speak the same thing. You listen to the word and you listen to the word and you listen to the word and you give yourself to it, and pretty soon you find yourself speaking the same thing. And what has happened? Well, if any man will come after me, let him drink of me, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living. I am the water of life. How does he say that? You see, I don't know the word. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul says, walk worthy of God who has called you into His kingdom and glory. I realize that says unto, but the Greek reads into His kingdom and glory. Verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectively works in you that believe. How you hear the word makes a difference. Jesus told the disciples on one occasion, be careful how you hear. Be careful how you hear. You want to hear what the Lord is speaking. And He says, now this word was coming through Paul. And a lot of people listen to Paul, the man's mad. And they just considered it Paul speaking. They did not consider that it was God speaking through him, you see. But Paul is telling these Thessalonians, he says, I thank God because when you received the word that we spoke, you received it not as the word of man, but you received it as it is in truth, the word of God. And that causes it to effectually work within you. You can have people sitting here at this table listening to what's being said. And if they regard it just as somebody's opinion, or just as the word of man, they won't get anything. But if they can hear and minister their spirit, it's the word of God. Well, when God speaks to me, I want to know it's Him speaking to me and not some man. Never heard anybody say that. Yeah. Well, if God speaks to you, He'll speak through you, through a man, probably. Mm-hmm. Be sure that when you receive the word, you receive it as it is, the word of God. You never know who might be speaking the word. You might not know what he sounds like. He may not speak well. He may have a lisp. His English may not be good, or may not know any English at all. Scripture says that many men have entertained angels unawares. There have been those who have entertained the Lord unawares, not knowing who He was, and missed the day of the visitation. We want to know. Hebrews 4. And this will be the last scripture. How will I know when I'm hearing the word? How will I know if I'm hearing the word of God? How will I know when there's something in me that's of me that needs to be taken out? Well, this scripture will tell you. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick. That doesn't mean it's fast. It means it's sharp. It means it's quick. It makes alive. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, one, if it's a two-edged sword, wonder what it's going to be chopping. What is it going to be cutting? Piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit. The word of God is like a two-edged sword, and it will divide between your soul and your spirit. Now, your soul is the you person, the self. And that word is going to start dividing asunder between soul and spirit. Just to what extent? Ooh, and of the joints and the marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Man, I tell you, there's times when you can't even discern your own heart and the intentions that are there. Yeah. But that word of God is sharp, quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it began dividing between soul and spirit. One of the ways that you'll know if you're hearing the word of God, well, I'm just bubbly, boy, I'm hearing the word of God. Listen, when you hear the word of God, it's going to cut. Mm-hmm. It's going to cut. It's going to take you to task. It's going to cut out some things that are a part of you that need to go. And you're going to, God, what are you doing to me anyhow? Can I give you one more? Hosea 6. But see, you got to realize, God loves you, and He wants you to be clean, He wants you to be holy, and I'll tell you what, He don't mind being that two-edged sword that divides between soul and spirit. First three verses of Hosea chapter 6, come. Let us return unto the Lord. What has the Lord done? He has torn, and He will heal us. He has smitten, and He will bind us up. After 2 days will He revive us. In the third day, He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. See, after he has torn you and then healed you, after he has smitten you and then bound you up, and after these 2 days, and you will rise on the third day. In other words, there's going to be a resurrection. After all this happens, then you're going to live in his sight, and then shall you know. What must I do to know the Lord? Well, you must be torn and then healed. You must be smitten, then bound up. You have to die out to self and then be raised up. And then you live in his sight. And then shall you know if at this time you continue to follow on to know the Lord. Because see, at this time, you're just really getting started.